This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word and it means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish people and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. But something is stopping you from being red hot for the Messiah. In fact, the longer you've been a believer, the more somethings that have piled up. And I have just read a book that's literally off the press by Doug Jones. Doug is an instructor at Rhema Bible College, and he was the crusade director for many years with Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and he has written a book that has what I would call a key on maintaining our thought life. And you would think, and every believer knows, well, you got to watch what you think, you got to watch what you say, but this book outlines exactly how dangerous this is. And once you read this book and come to your senses, and that's what it is, come to your senses how dangerous this is, then it tells you exactly when you are set up. And that's what the devil does. He sets you up for a fall, and he starts with something simple. You will catch it immediately and get rid of it. And we were talking the last couple of days on the chapter in the Bible that talks about the armor of God, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13 through 17. And in that 6th chapter, it tells us what the armor is to be used against: the wiles of the devil, the evil day, and to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So in order to identify what these three things are, the wiles, the evil day, and the fiery darts, this is what they are. They are thoughts. They're ideas. They're suggestions. So Doug Jones, I have on the phone, I'm speaking to him in his office in Tulsa. Can we prove, Doug, that the devil actually uses these thoughts and these ideas and suggestions as weapons against us?
Yes, very, very, very clearly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, said, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Said, that tells me this then, his devices are knowable. His devices are predictable. I like to put it this way, the devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes in his approach to man, and he never changes his weapons that he hurls at man. What he hurls at us is nothing more than thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And we must be very alert to that.
Now, most of us think in terms of something far more dramatic than something so subtle as that.
Yes. Well, if you go through his history, as he approached Eve, the thing that he hurled at her was nothing more than thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Hath God said? He said, you shall not surely die. He said, you'll know the difference between good and evil. He hurls another thought at her. You'll be as gods. And what happened was, is Eve, with the thoughts hurled at her, she considered the thoughts, did not stand against those thoughts, failed to maintain her thought life, and she ended up falling from the very place that God had intended for her all along. But the point is that what the devil hurled at her was nothing more than thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And then also in the case with Jesus in Luke 4, here again we find Lucifer approaching Jesus, and what he hurled at him was nothing more than thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. He said, go ahead and throw yourself down. The angels will catch you. Make bread out of those stones. He said, if you'll just bow down before me, I'll give you the glory of all these. All he hurled at him was thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. These are the tools. These are the weapons, the devices that the devil uses against us. Sometimes I think that like you said, we look for the spectacular. You know, there's a statement that's in the Song of Solomon that talks about the little foxes spoil the vine. And I think it's the little foxes sometimes that cause us more problems than these big issues.
So it's almost like a Trojan horse.
Sir.
We think that horse is fine, but it is loaded with enemies.
Yes, sir. And thoughts are loaded with enemies. The devil is also called the liar in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Well, how does he lie? He lies by offering to us thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And then in Revelation chapter 12, this one helps me more than anything. There was a war in heaven, the Bible says, in Revelation 12 and verse 7, and I encourage our listeners to write this passage down, take a look at it. It's an incredible verse. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, he says these words, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, here it is, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This phrase, which deceiveth the whole world, is a statement of summary, Sid. It summarizes the activities of Lucifer upon the earth. He's called the deceiver of the whole world.
What is the definition of the word deceiver?
Great question. The word deceive means to cause you to think on things that aren't true. I want to say that again. The word deceive means to cause you to think on things that aren't true. There's a passage that I'm reminded of right now. It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, lovely, just, pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Notice which one he started out with. Whatsoever things are true, that's where most Christians are missing it. They're thinking on things that are not true. He's the deceiver of the world. He's trying to get us to think on things that aren't true. That's the reason why that Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I tell my students all the time, Sid, that in order for before the truth can set you free from sickness, it has to, first of all, set you free from untruth. Truth. He's saying, think on the truth. We need to make sure that what we're thinking about is truth, not deceptive thoughts, not lies.
Give me an example.
There's so many individuals today that they know that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They hear that God's commissioned us to do that, but they start thinking of themselves that I'm not worthy, that I don't have a call of God upon my life to do that.
Or it works for everyone else, but not for me?
Yes, sir. And all of a sudden, they talk themselves out of doing what God's asked them to do because of the thoughts that bombard their minds about the fact that they're unworthy, that they're not good enough, that it works for everybody else but me. Those thoughts need to be rejected. Those thoughts go against the Word of God.
Now, someone may be listening to us right now, Doug, and they'll say, well, all he's saying is just confess God's Word and everything will be fine. But this is far deeper than that.
Yes, yes. Well, like I said, Sid, because we need to.
Because if you just confess God's Word, that's good, but I don't know that everything will be fine.
Yes, yes, yes. Here again, it goes back to the amount of Bible knowledge that you have. It's about this armor issue again. You know, we said on our first program that our armor is simply truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. In other words, can I put it to you this way, Sid? The degree of knowledge that you possess determines the breadth, width, height, length of the victory that you're capable of enjoying.
Yes, but there are many people that are more knowledgeable than you and I put together, but they don't use that knowledge.
Sure. Yeah, well, here again, it goes back to that issue, Sid, knowledge and its proper use. We are to use what we know properly. And the first place that our knowledge that we must, you know, that we possess, the first place that it needs to touch is our thought life.
Okay, I want to get more practical.
Okay.
You gave an example of someone that wanted a healing,
yes.
And they have this thought that goes through their mind.
Yes.
I know God heals. I believe God heals.
Yes.
I believe he heals. I've seen lots of miracles. I believe God's word is true, but for some reason he doesn't heal me.
Yes.
That thought just went into someone's mind.
Yes.
What do they do practically?
Oh, well, here again, putting on the whole armor of God, putting on what we know. And we know, first of all, Sid, that it's the will of God for us to be well. And so, taking that Bible knowledge, we know that it's the will of God for us to be well because of the brazen serpent, because of the Passover lamb. These two ingredients show us very clearly that it's the will of God to heal all. And then also to take the words of Jesus and show very clearly that it's the will of God for us to be well, and take the actions of Jesus, and those show us that it's the will of God for us to be well, and the plan of redemption scriptures. And so what we do is we gather up everything that we know about these scriptures, and we begin to put these scriptures on ourselves. It becomes Bible armor to us.
How do we put it on ourselves?
Put it on by putting ourselves in remembrance of these Bible verses. And as we put ourselves in remembrance of these Bible verses, then all of a sudden we are now armed with the fact that it's the will of God for me to be well. Now this armor that we are to put on, it begins its operation in our lives by thought identification. Every thought that we encounter must be filtered through what we know about what the Bible teaches us.
Every thought?
Every thought.
And that's the key that I missed. You got to say that again, because I think someone's missed that.
Yeah, casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. No matter the source, whether it comes from the eye gate, no matter if it comes from the ear gate, or if it comes from the devil himself, every thought that comes our way needs to be scrutinized by our Bible knowledge. And I'll tell you why, Sid. Is because every thought has some type of life attached to it. Every thought has a nature attached to it.
All right, so what about the thought that says God heals everyone, but for some reason he doesn't heal me?
Yeah.
What is the nature of that?
It has a death nature attached to it. The nature of a thought always is dependent upon the source of the thought. And so there are thoughts that come our way that have a life of God nature attached to it, a Zoe life attached to it. There's thoughts that come to us that have a death nature attached to it. Every thought, no matter how simple it is, no matter how innocent it is, has some type of nature attached to it. It's kind of like this. The thought comes to you, snub them. Give them the cold shoulder. You know as well as I do that every one of us has had that thought.
I know, but we're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Mishpucha, this book has such an anointing for you to want to take every thought captive and have life and rather than death, and how to do it. We're making it available for a donation of $12 or more. The title, Mastering the Silence. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.